let's teach the word of God briefly again today. We are looking at the laws of confessions. I'll just emphasize the S so as to bring out the fact that there are different types, and then within them, different kind of things must be noted as principles and precepts that control our confessions. Last time we began to, I began to give some names to it. So we talked about the law of faith and salvation, something like that. Or is it righteousness and salvation, something like that. And there we talked about the fact that with the heart man believes resulted in righteousness. And as a consequence, he begins to utter words that release effect around him. And that's what the Bible calls salvation. And we said that it's because of the fullness of the word in his heart. If his heart is full of the word of God, it will affect his environment. And the manifestation of that fullness is what he utters. And I said that Christians, we must not put in the effort, all right, to restrain our mouth from talking. Because if indeed our hearts are full, our mouths will speak automatically. All right, that our words are not just words. In the realm of the spirit, they are tangible weapons of war. It's like in the physical realm, you take a gun and you load, let's say it's a shotgun, you load cartridges inside it. Those things are real, all right? And when you fire a shot, there's an explosion, and the cartridges, the pellets inside the cartridges are propelled, all right? Those things are tangible things. In the same manner, in the realm of the spirit, the words that you speak are tangible. I give an illustration that if you go for spiritual warfare, if you were to see a spiritual battle in the realm of the spirit, what will be shooting forth, all right, out and back, all right, to and fro, from one battle zone to another, will be words that people are speaking. And the person with the most powerful words is the one who will win that encounter, is the one that will win that battle. So words are actually, they are not just utterances, they are spiritual weapons. And we said that our angels, all right, that we may have things that God has provided for us, but we are not using them because we are not being careful. Our angels are there. They need words, all right? They use words to effect what God wants them to effect on the earth or in our lives. He said that the heavens, he was talking about the mighty, add that scripture again, quote for me quickly. He said, bless the Lord, you, his angels, mighty in battle, hearkening to the voice of his word. Let me just read that, all right? Just good to just read it. He said, bless the Lord, you, his angels. Verse 20, Psalm 103. Mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Very important. That is the voice of God's word. That is, this is what we do as Christians. We take the word of God and we utter them. And that way we are giving weapons to our angels to fight on our behalf. So that's the law of spiritual weaponry. All right, the words that we speak, they are, you know, I remember quoting that he said the sword of the spirit is the word of God. That is, we're not saying that the sword that the spirit uses, we are saying that in the realm of the spirit, that is the sword. In the realm of the spirit, that is what is willed. These are the, of course, you must understand the way the scriptures, all right, are written. The weapons that men used those days were swords. If it was written today, they would have said, and take the word of the bazooka of the spirit. Yes, I wanted to say. The rocket-propelled grenade of the spirit, the pump action of the spirit, you understand? The AK-47 of the spirit, which is the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's because then what they were using, all right, were swords. So that's why I said the sword of the spirit. If it is now, he would have told you, take the RPG of the spirit, which is the word of God. Do you understand? Instead of bulletproof, inside the shield of faith, to have been the bulletproof vest of faith. That's what I'm saying. Yes, because you know the expression of being relevant. In the realm of the spirit, it's the same thing, but the expression of it in the physical realm is what changes from one epoch onto another. All right? The Lord is good. So that's what I talked about, the law of spiritual weaponry. Then last of all, we now spoke about the law of personal control. That is the control of your life. And I want to pick up from that one today, though I'm going into another kind of confession, and another kind of law that controls that particular confession. In fact, let me just use the word of Ed Cole. He calls it the law of release. All right? What did I call it? The law of release. Yes. When he was talking, although, see, let me just quickly clarify something. I'm just borrowing that expression. All right? he was talking about something. He was talking about forgiveness. His own law of release is forgiveness. That how to get something out of your life. You know, you see a lot of people, they are in bondage. And the reason why they are in bondage is because somebody offended them. And they have not forgiven the person. And that opens the door for evil spirits, all right, into your life. And that's a matter of fact. You must learn the principle of forgiveness. Don't let anybody hold you down because you are trying to retain something the person did against you, all right, in your heart. Forgiveness, it's for your own good, all right? It's important because if you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive. That's what the Bible says. So what happens is that you allow evil spirits into your life when you're always angry. Somebody did something to you, you know? That was about 8 years ago, and you are still angry till today. If I read the story of, I think it's Andrew Womack told the story, a woman that was seriously, she had rheumatoid arthritis, all right? She was seriously afflicted, I think, or something her back. Anyway, she had a physical disorder, right? I think it was rheumatoid arthritis. And she had prayed and confessed, and they had prayed for her, nothing was happening until somebody just had a word of knowledge and understanding and just told her something. But there's somebody that she's angry with, and that's true. There was one man she was supposed to marry when she was young. She was in her 50s now. And the person who was telling the story, I can't remember if it was Andrew Mark or not, he emphasized the fact that, look, it wasn't a small thing. Those days, I mean, the young woman was pregnant out of wedlock, you know, and the guy, despite that, disappointed her seriously. So in their season, she was like an outcast. So the guy did her really, really bad. And she has not forgotten after like 25 or 30 years. I don't know what was happening to the guy, and it's not important. What was more important that she was sick and afflicted because she was angry with somebody justifiably. You must understand this. That's a mistake we make sometimes. I think that it deserves it. We know, but you don't deserve to be sick. Amen? You deserve to have things working for you properly. You know, people just take offense. You know, anyhow, they're angry. Some people are angry. Why did my mother come back home 1 month before I was delivered? That's how I'm a Nigerian citizen now. I would have been an American citizen. And the fellow is not making progress, it's because he's angry with the mother. People pick offense for all kinds of reasons. Some offense, let's even forget those silly ones. Some are real. They are justified, you know, humanly speaking. They make sense. It's a kind of an eye for an eye kind of justification. That if we went to Moses to judge this one, Moses would not just tell me, kill him. You know, Moses would have told me, kill him. But even then, that's not blessing you. And that's what Ed Cole talked about in his own law of release, okay? So when Ed Cole talks about law of release, that's what he's talking about. I just wanted to drop that. You know, we keep on learning. I must never forget that. You must not hold somebody in your heart. It's not to your advantage. It's not to your advantage at all. After my father died, can you imagine? These my uncles, they had money. They did not help my mother. My mother had to. And since then, if you see the man on the road, you're wishing you just have a heart attack and die. Unfortunately, the man has refused to die. He's prospering. That's the reason why your business is not working. And you don't realize it. You've tried all kinds of businesses. It's not working. Why? Unforgiveness. Anger is just inside there. When those things are there, the Bible says there is every evil work. Every evil work. All kinds of trouble will be coming. I'm just angry. Listen, I'm not. It's justified, all right? I know. So we're not talking about all those, you know, some unnecessary anger. You know, like Tysho Lahren was angry with God. Remember Tysho Lahren? I was angry with God. He prayed for money. God didn't give him. So he said, there's no God. You're not laughing. Am I the only one finding it funny? Join me in laughing now. Very foolish thing. That the man said, there's no God. Because he asked God for something. God didn't give him. That nonsense. So that's not the kind of what we've been talking about. There are some in which it's real. You know, I mean, we can trace it. If we took the matter to Moses, Moses would judge and say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a nose for a nose. In fact, a head for this one that the guy did to you. But does it make? Is he helping you? He's not helping you. He's not blessing you. You have to go the way of Christ, all right? Even if fellow did it 70 times, seven times, just forget it. It's not. You don't have the time. You know, oh God, life is too serious. No, I was talking to one of our senior colleagues today. He said, I hope I've not forgotten. You know, I'm getting old. I said, oh God, age is not a problem. Age is not a disease. I told him straight. I said, my guy, this age is not a problem. The reason why you are forgetting things is that you have too many things to think about. I said, that's all. So don't make it look as if age is a problem. And then they say, that's how life. So I would just explain to him. In fact, the man laughed. He almost fell from his seat. He was laughing. I explained to him. I said, look, when I was young, I used to remember everything. But this is now. Me too, I forget things. I said, why? Because when I was young, all I had to worry about was book. Once I just go to school, I read. Who bought the food? Mm-hmm. If they say price is going up, I only hear my father and my mother say it. It doesn't concern. Nobody tells me to contribute now because price is going up. Rice used to be this price. It is now this price. What concerns me? At night, there's still rice. It's people who are paying for the rice that know that the price is changing. I don't know. They say, can you believe it? Fuel is so expensive now. On Sunday, just start the car. Let me enter. Let's go to church. The cost of the fuel, with my son, what is my problem? I don't understand. But then now, praise God. Now, me, they go filling station. I they pay for rice. Amen. I'm the one that, check the bank balance. So there are more things to think about. On top of that, you say, I have to remember book. I'm a university lecturer. I have to come and teach the word of God. I'm a pastor. Amen. I'm a husband of one wife. Being married is a very busy thing. Praise the Lord. No one day, I actually forgot my wife's birthday. To tell you that these things are very serious. And, I told the story before. So that day, I was in church. I said, why is this woman looking so nice? My wife was all dressed up. Wore a very nice gown or suit or something, did her hair very well and was talking, and she was supposed to take some announcements in church. I was sitting there watching. I said, oh boy, see, babe, what happened? I didn't know it was her birthday. The Lord is good. I'm not a wicked man, just that life, too many things. No, you know what I'm saying of this thing? So you don't have time to be keeping somebody in your mind. That's what I'm trying to say. All these stories, how they tell you. If you're busy trying to be angry with somebody, that's so your wife birthday will pass. That's so your blessing will come pass one day too. You won't identify. You're busy. You're busy whining. You're getting angry. One day, something bad will happen to him. How does that bless you? It doesn't bless you. It doesn't help you. So just forget it. Some people are angry with their father today. Because their father was young, and he was amongst a group of friends. And the other friend is now a big shot. The other one is a big businessman now. One is a big politician. The father is only the one that's still collecting pension. The guy is angry. And that time, the people were doing this. The father refused. He traveled with one of his cousins, and they went somewhere. Look at how life changed now. He vexed with the papa till today. Because it's called my father. I don't have money. I told you once I went to go and preach. One man said, I still think it's the reason why I went to preach in the way that day. He said, I should help him now. I said, what is it? Otherwise, he's going to do something terrible. What is it? My father is not being like a father at all. I said, what did he do? Did your father collect your wife? What is all of this? Your father is not being like your father. He said, my father sold land. He didn't give me my portion. I said, the other time you want to bring out your belt, except that your trousers might fall down. You want to just flog somebody right there. How old are you? He said he was about 30, maybe let's say 32 or something like that. At that age, you're expecting your father to be sharing land money with you. Because I'm a preacher, I put on my preacher voice and I counsel him. But if to sing a manly voice, I will beat him. See, which kind of thing is this one? You don't flog you when you're young. May I do it for you when you be adult now? And the man was angry. I had to counsel him and say, no, it's your father's money. Go and make your own. I said, if he sells land, shreds the money, flushes down the toilet. It's his money. You go and make your own and do what the Bible says. His son honors the father. So go back home and honor your father. And I told him, watch my words, or I mark my words. If you do what I'm telling you over the next 6 months, you won't believe the amount of prosperity that will come into your home. What am I trying to say? I'm just giving you Ed Cole's law of release. We'll keep on learning these things. Never can tell when you're helping somebody. All right? That's Ed Cole's law of release. That how do you spell release. This is how you spell release. It's forgivenesss. That's how he spells release. It's forgiveness. You forgive people who have done evil against you. You forgive them. You don't keep them in your heart. Like I was saying, you don't have the time. you have to be blessed. Are you getting my point? You can't expend spiritual energy. You don't have too much of it to be wasting. That's why I'm using that memory as an example. You can't remember everything. You should reserve your brain for remembering correct things. That's Ed Cole's law of release. Amen? Now let's get back to our own now. That's just an extra, you know, for your gate fee. You'll still get the full thing. That's just extra for paying to enter here today. Amen. The Lord is good. And for the record, we didn't collect money. Somebody will be listening to this somewhere and say, they used to charge money. Now you go close in church on Sunday. Everybody. Pastor Park used to charge gate fees. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so let's sit down on our own message for today. The law of release, the way I'm using it now. And what do I mean by law of release? How to get evil things out of your life. It's a very good one to listen to the Ed Cole's law of release, but we are talking about the laws of confessions, and that will also be applicable when you are trying to operate Ed Cole's law of release, okay? Let's talk about our own laws of confessions. Today's text is from the book of 1 John, chapter 1. Before we read it, let me say this to us again. You can look up. We'll read from around verse, let's just mark where we're going to read, and then we'll get back there in a moment. From verse 5, we'll read to verse 10. So we'll read in a moment. Let me just remind us of something again. This is how God has made life. Life has an order. You know, I keep on saying it. Things have, there are orders, you know, to the way things should be in life. What I mean is that if you want to come in here and you get to the door, this door is made of metal. That's a concrete frame. If you are angry and you jam the door 10 times, you go injured. That door is not likely to bulge. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. What is the order? If you get there and it's locked, you knock. Knock and the door shall be what? Open. That's the order. If somebody's inside, you will go there, unbolt the thing, and you are in. If there's nobody inside, maybe they locked it from outside. The order is to call Israel. Hey, where are you there? I want to enter into this studio hall. And he brings you the key. And then you put the key. The door is made of metal. All right? If you do like a ram, you know what they call ram? Ilayah ram, that is Idel Fitri, Abizi, Idel Kabir. The one they slaughter for Muslim festival. That big one. If you move back, time, jam the door. But you know it's not going to move. At the end of the day, you are going to have a depressed core fracture. And the door is still there. It is because that's not the order. Somebody about one-tenth your size will come in, he has the key, he will turn the key, he will open the door, and he won't be injured at all. Many people are blowing things off because they want to enter somewhere. And after blowing the door will open eventually, but the whole building is half destroyed, all the things inside are burnt. Some of the precious things he's pursuing, they are ruined because he did not use the proper order. Life has an order. Let's bear that one in mind. I just want to remind us of some of these principles. And one of the principles of God of worldliness, one of the principles of worldliness is when we try to learn from the world the order of life, instead of going to the maker of life to learn the order of life. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias. He said it's only in Christianity, and it's a matter of fact, it's only in Christianity that people, that is, we preach. And it is true, I mean, we preach the truth, that there is a spirit, that God, the Father of all spirits, will pour his spirit inside you and change you. Every other religion tells you how you should try. Now, this is what I'm talking about. If the door is locked, many people are trying. They hardly succeed. When they do succeed, in quote, they blow a lot of things up in trying to force that door open because it is not the order. What you must learn as a Christian is the proper order. The Bible says there is a proper order for every event. Don't ever forget that. Another thing is that, listen, many things, there's something my mechanic does this when I used to drive a flat boot, you know what they call flat boot? Mercedes-Benz. My mechanic used to say something, if you want to change a part, those cars, you know, we bought them used, they were old, those days, so they need a lot of maintenance. So he wanted to change a part, and he's maybe a hammering, bang, bang. He said, this is not the original one. Why? He said, because the man who made it normally makes in such a manner that we don't have to go through this process. So if we have to go through this process, We haven't bought the correct one. And sometimes men go through all of that, not because they don't even have the correct part, but because they are not using the correct tools. Most of our mechanics were poorly equipped. Some things are meant to be removed under pressure, you know? But they don't have, so you have to be using hammer and chisel and then destroy other things in the process. What am I saying? Many things we are trying to solve in life, if we learn the proper order, you will find that they are not difficult. I'm going somewhere, I'm not forgetting what I'm talking about. I need to emphasize that. In spiritual things, that's one of the reasons why we keep on having classes like this. And that's one of the reasons why God anointed men and called them teachers. You understand? Because you must learn order. We must learn order. In changing your life, like we said the last time, some people, you know, at the beginning of every year, New Year resolution. Very few people make New Year resolutions about how they talk, what they say. Therefore, most New Year resolutions don't work because they have jumped a major step. In directing your body, that's what I'm talking about, law of personal control. In directing your body, you say direct the tongue first. So the way of the transgressor becomes hard. The Bible says good understanding produces what? Favor. But the man who doesn't have understanding, his way is hard. He starts doing things with difficulty. So what's your duty as a believer? Learn the proper thing. You know, I'm a teacher of medical students. You know, and one of the things, you know, I had an exam today for my students, and something made me reason again. And I made up my mind the reason why a lot of people find things hard to learn. You see, students go to class, they read. No, we are the teachers. At the end of the day, they set one simple question, they get zero. But this fellow was in class for 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. I thought about it today. I was just watching students as they were going to an exam hall. I had an exam today. And I was just meditating. I said, no, this is what the problem is. Many of these students don't know anything. Not because they don't have the brain. And somebody not saying that they are not intelligent is not true. They have just been laboring wrongly. There are many more things you can learn that you actually have the capacity to handle in life. More than you have handled already. And one of the problems is that as a child, people directed your abilities with words, with encouragement, with discouragement. They channeled in a particular way, and you have lost direction. Now, you are still going on that direction now and trying to learn as an adult, and everything is difficult. So one of the things you need to do is we can't discuss that now, is to just settle down. One day I told one young man, just as an example. I saw him downstairs. Oh, boy, how far? Man, he's been struggling with some exams and just been going around in circles, you know, like Israel in the wilderness, around Mount Seir. Go and read Jeremiah chapter 2. They kept on going round and round. So God says, enough now, go this direction. Because these guys have been going round and round in one circle. So he has been going around for a while. So I looked at him and I said, oh boy, what's going on? Then his zone, I suddenly understood. I said, hey, come here. You can never pass this exam trying to pass it. What did you say, sir? I said, you will never pass trying to pass. I said, forget passing for a year. Just say, this subject, I must know it. For a lot of people, the reason why they will never pass is that they're trying to pass. Seek first the kingdom of knowledge, and passing and other things shall be added unto you. It's a scripture. I'm going to have an issue here. You see, everything has an order. And it's our duty to learn what? The order. And many things that appear difficult is because we are in the wrong direction. Let me give you another one as Christians. If you try to make money as a believer, you'll be poor. That's it. These are the orders in life. As Christians especially, there's a commandment. Anybody that loves money will not have enough. There are two ways to look at it. Say he's only looking for more. He won't be satisfied. That is one. But there's another one which God says he will have pocket with holes for loving money. Please, we need to get these things clear. That's how we're learning all these laws of this, laws of that. Okay? Please bear those things in mind. So we must learn the proper laws. Last thing, see part of what I'm saying. So we must bear this in mind. This is a summary of the whole thing. Life is spiritually controlled. What did I say? It's spiritually controlled. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. So you see, there's a proper order. We're talking about the law of release, our own way today. There's a way you break bad habits. I'm narrowing it down now. Talking about the law of release. Walking in righteousness is important for every believer. Not only is it important, it's a commandment. That's your life. You must walk in righteousness. Unrighteousness, wickedness, can form itself into a habit and a stronghold in the life of somebody. It can. In fact, becomes so strong sometimes, he demonic power sits down there to put the person in bondage. I thought about it. In the event of homosexuality, it's a serious problem right now in Europe and maybe North America also. Although in North America, don't let me give facts, but it's a serious problem in a lot of places, okay? Now, it's not natural. Listen, let's forget all of this noise about the confusion that science is trying to create, okay? These things are satanic. And you're going to read the scriptures. It says it is because they denied the knowledge of God, therefore God gave them over. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, God gives him over. Somebody receives him on the other side. And the person on the other side is called Satan. It's called Satan. These are demon possession matters. It's so, the people are so possessed by the spirit, they think it is natural, it's part of them. All right? That's a matter of fact. What am I saying? Unrighteousness, wickedness can bind people and it becomes like it's normal. Many people who are doing what is wrong, at the beginning they know it's wrong. After a while, they said, it must be right because I can't help but do it. Let me say something to you quickly. In life, you know, I said these things, they are spiritually controlled. Okay? Number one place you control things in life is in the mind. That is how you reason. It's not how you feel. It is what? How you reason. For example, no matter how you feel about something, if the Bible says, if the word of God says it is bad, just take it as bad. Even though it's sweet. Let me give an example. I assume there is one particular food. This is even a very, if I have a better way to illustrate it. Now, many of you know me here, all right? You know me well enough. One, you came to hear me teach the word of God, which is good. I mean, and it's a very wise choice on your part. Amen. But apart from that, you understand, you also know my natural profession, okay? So if I put a glass of one nice tasting cold chilled drink here, and you say, can I have that? And you take a sip of it, and I say to you that don't drink more than one sip. If you take a few, if you take more than that, you are going to be injured. You know, instantly you drop it. It tastes nice, doesn't it? It's cold. You need it. You know, you are a weary soul, like the Bible says, that you need this cold thing. But because somebody said to you, it is not good for you, and you know this person, either he understands the spiritual dimension or is a natural dimension, he says it's not good. You know, you drop it. And if I walk away, somebody will come and say, oh boy, see, drink. Say, don't touch it too. That one is risky. And that person says, hey, don't go near it too. That's going to injure you. You know, it's going to put a hole in your liver to connect with your kidney, then come out from your back and you're dead meat. You feel one way, but understanding tells you, you know, because somebody gave you knowledge, it tells you something else. And you stick with that which you are told, no matter how you feel. Is that not true? That's how life is. That's why we're talking about some people are born homosexual. They said, stop telling me lies. The Bible says it's not true. No matter how they feel, they should read from the word of God, there is satanic bondage. Period. Number one place where you win your battle in life. And that's how Satan fights. So he reasons, you know. Has God really said, thou shalt not eat of any of the trees that's there? No, none of them. He said, no, what do you mean? We can eat all of them, but the one of this one is sent out of the garden, we cannot even touch. You shall surely die is a lie. You shall not surely die. Until Satan made that statement, it never crossed Eve's mind that tree should be touched. That's why she said, we're not supposed to touch it. God said, don't eat it. That's all he said. Well, why did Eve say we shouldn't touch it? Because so much were they persuaded about not eating it that touching it was unnecessary and was not even a temptation until Satan came and introduced a new idea about it. Therefore, what's the duty of a believer, a child of God? Resist every satanic thought. Listen, this man's ministry was ruined for many reasons. Jim Baker. Abi? That was his name? Jim Baker, yes. But there was one tactical error he made one day. He was talking with one man, and he said that what ruined his ministry, one of the things, all right, the way it triggered was his immoral encounter with Jessica Hahn, all right? And how did it begin? One day he was standing with one man, and he just reasoned, they don't mind my wife the way she's misbehaving. Maybe if I just have an affair, she will shape up. It was supposed to be a joke, something like that. But he thought it. He uttered it, and one day, he did it. It's like the day you do it, you shall surely die. No, you shall not surely die. That was what he said. And the moment he said, you shall not surely die, somebody gave him the fruit. That was the beginning of the end of his ministry. Don't let anybody reason you away from righteousness. Give an explanation for that which is evil. I like the way they used to say it, those the village headmaster. A bad thing is a bad thing. Kala lang kolo. Kolo long kala. Can you remember? A bad thing is a bad thing. That is the sum of it. That is the beginning and the end. If it is bad, it is what? It is bad. Life is spiritually controlled. When people think one way, eventually their lives align with their thought process, which will have come out through their mouth. Now I keep on saying that, listen, we're all in church. Everybody raise your right hand. Raise your left leg. Say after me, my right hand is blessed. My right hand is blessed. My left leg crushes the head of the devil. As they go, they come off the road. So for Alpha, say, leave pastor. Now because they don't pay on salary. That is, he just looks for a way to explain a way. He's not, but he was there, shouting, my left hand is blessed, my right hand is in control. You know what I'm saying? But what he's really thinking is when he sits down, he said, those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another, not on the pulpit. And the Lord heard it. It wasn't what they were declaring outwardly. It was what they were saying one to another. Let's just tell ourselves the truth. You know, the kind of decisions some Christians make sometimes, it will have shocked me, except that I already understand this principle. That what they are saying to you outside is not what they are thinking. And the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he really is like. It's not as he says with his mouth. It's as he thinks in his heart. That's one area where you must resist, though. Mr. Satan, don't give me ideas. A bad thing is a bad thing. Don't give me ideas. I'm saying all this so we understand that life is spiritually controlled. We're talking about law of release, talking about confession, so I'll get back there. I just want to get all these things together, all right? So you see, two things I need to tie together here. One, what's inside the heart, our viewpoints, our attitude towards things, number one. Then number two, the issue of release, and that's the principle. Now, okay, I was explaining the issue of how things have order and they have keys. Listen to this. I need to say this again. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Let me explain what grace is again. Grace means it's all God's idea and it's all his power to effect it. That's what grace means. You know, by now I'm sure I have more than 100 definitions for grace. This is a new one. It's all God's idea and it's all his power to effect it. That's just what grace is. Grace means that it is not by power. It is not by might. That is my power, not by my might. It's by the Spirit of God working on me. Talking about the law of release. God is saying, if a woman has to break a bad habit, it's not by struggles. No. Because, you know, the person you are struggling with, you know, some of these things are not natural. You know, I've been saying it. These are satanic matters. And that guy knows how to fight rough if you come to his tough. So what you do is that don't fight on his tough. One of the things you don't reason with the devil. What I mean is this. Are you not hungry? Thou shalt... why they turn these stones to bread? After all, you are the Son of God. You can do it. And I say, Satan, let me tell you why you shouldn't do such things. What if the press finds out now that this is all you have been doing behind? You know, your ministry can come to an end. The other day, Mr. Jale Koko, he turned stone to bread. Half of it was bread. The rest was stone. He choked in his throat. You know, the man just died. You start reasoning with him. You know, if I go and turn it to bread now, it goes halfway. It remains as stone. I start eating. I lose my teeth and I choke. Ha, Satan, it's risky. How they do? I want you don't do and finish. Satan say, don't worry, don't worry. He will just be rejoicing. Say, this one, we don't get this one. He's fighting on our turf. He's reasoning. Don't worry. He tells you, say, come. They told you that it was that what killed that man. Let me tell you what actually killed him. It was because he was eating thorns alongside. Is your own, does he have thorns? Is that reasoning?
Say, let me explain to you. In fact, there is oil on the side to lubricate any imperfections in the conversion process. Then you come from another angle, you will lose that fight because you are fighting on his turf. And the Lord Jesus never did that. He just said, he went to another level. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how a man lives. That is, bread or no bread, we will survive. Simple. Satan came with another angle. The answer again was, it is written. This is the principle there. The fight is a spiritual fight. You fight on a turf that he does not have. A place for him is slippery. He can't even stand straight. But people want to come to where the devil is experienced. Want to reason away bad things. Reason away bad habits. It doesn't work. You read too many. You know, I told you sometimes, some of the books, some of the self-help books, they are not helping us. They bring us to Satan's level and we start struggling. I have some experience in life. Most books I have seen on marriage, written by, you know, very popular in the world, they are stupid books. What did I call them? They are stupid books. They are very stupid books. And you see the people who write them and read them, the divorce level there has not improved at all. They've been writing these books and reading them for years. Marital breakdown is only increasing. It doesn't work. So, if I see any book on marriage, if I check the person's qualification, as a PhD in psychology, Nasa Gotosam, your PhD in psychology can't help me. It can't. It can't. If the Bible says that it is better to dwell in the corner of the wilderness, in the corner of a roof or in the wilderness, than under a roof with a contentious wife, no psychology can change that. So you had better take the matter of contention in your wife and pray about it. All the psychological maneuverings, just by the way, it just after a while, you know what they do? They tell the man, hand over control to the woman, she will stop complaining. Then he hands over control, then she stops complaining, but she has become the Satan lord of the house. Because once you turn the thing upside down, it's a satanic stronghold that you are dealing with. So the next generation is worse than the previous one. Why? They are fighting the devil in his area. As Christians, we don't do that too. We go to his area, that is God's arena, and we fight from that angle. So they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, do this. He said, it is written, that shall not be done. It is written, this one, no man should do that. It is written, I must not do this. And that's the end of the story. The law of release. Let me get back there. Grace. Grace is that we are fighting with God's power. We are triumphing by God's power. Now let's read our text scripture. I've said many, many things. I pray that it will help us to understand this. You know, sometimes when you say many of these things, the rest of it, the main point, just enters sure, like that. 1 John chapter 1. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with the Father, with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now please, I need to explain that as we go on. The blood of Jesus does what? Cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, the law of confession today is the confession of sin we are talking about. You know, we said there are laws of confession. So today I'm talking about the confession of sin. I've talked about the confession of the word of God. Now we're talking about confession of sin. He said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me just stop there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me just start with this, all right? Ed Cole, you know, good enough. I didn't realize I was going to quote him today, but there's a story he told. I mentioned it in my book, Should I Say Yes? He talked about the circumcised marriage. What I want to talk about that briefly is
the instantaneous results he got, because I mentioned something about psychology of marriage and all of that, that people with PhD in psychology try to teach us. But Esco talked about a man and a woman that came to see him. He was in a hurry, number one. All right? Their marriage was frozen. Let me just put it like that. From day one, it was frozen. No romance in it. They were not enjoying it, but they were very nice to each other. Right? They were nice people to each other, very friendly. But they knew that this is not love. This is not marriage. So they came to see Esco. This is a summary of it. I told a bit of the story in the book. Shall I say yes? The man said he didn't have time to be hearing who said what to whom, by when, on what occasion, or like they say in CNN, who did what, where, when, and why, you know? He doesn't even know. He just said, look, listen, what are we going to do? We are going to put away the old out of this marriage, and we're going to bring in the new. I know how they did it. They just knelt down there. He prayed for them there and then. He led them in some confession of sin and the word of God. At the end of the day, he packed his bag, and their marriage was healed. It took just a few minutes of praying, not of psychological reasoning. Listen, you know, I've said many things. One, how we think. If we say something is good, let's make sure it is because the word of God says it is good. If it is bad, it is bad. There's no reasoning it away. You understand what I'm saying? Now, he said, if we confess our sins, let me talk about confession again. Confession is not bad feeling. Many people, remorse and confession are two different things. Most people who are remorseful, they are remorseful that they were caught. Some of them don't realize it. The truth is that what is the issue is with them is that everybody has now seen it. For Christians, sometimes God uses that to ignite true repentance. Confession, let me tell you what confession of sin simply means. Of course, confession talks about uttering words, but I want to say something before that. Confession simply starts from agreeing. What did I say? Agreeing. That is, it is not how I feel. It is that I know, I have been told and persuaded that it is wrong. I feel good about it. In fact, I'm not even feeling bad that's what I've been doing. But now I have been told it is wrong. Period. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Confession, look, all this one of, oh God, is because somebody found you. Are you getting my point? I hope I won't sound vulgar. Please, if you are married, you are properly married, you'll still be embarrassed if somebody jumps into your bedroom, you and your wife, you are naked on the bed and you are doing things that children shouldn't do. I don't know if you will laugh. Don't laugh. Only single boys can laugh. Now, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you be embarrassed? Is it a bad thing? Feeling is different. That is a perfect illustration. It's a very, look, Mr. Pastor, why is it that kind of thing now? But that's the only way I can explain this thing. Yes, because no matter how bad you feel about it, at the end of the day, the person goes, how can I go better? I can't get away from there. It's just embarrassment. You understand my point? There's no sense of this is bad. Many people, all right, that's what is doing them when they are doing what is bad. They come to church. Why? They've caught me. They will soon sack me. We are trying to collect money. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I want to collect money and arrange money. And, you know, now they have caught us. This, the whole totality of the embarrassment. Pastor will hear me deacon. You know, I will be put on suspension. He will start questioning all the tithes I've been paying, where I get it from. You know, now I'm going to lose my position. Oh, my children. Oh, the nurse, their father is a thief. Those are the things that's worrying the man. And that's why if you remove from Nigeria, carry him to America, he will start again. He has not been persuaded that whether I'm found out or not, this is evil. Evil is evil. Listen, it's not how I feel. Therefore, you can be reading it. Let me give you an example. Very simple, very good illustration to tell you that it's not how I feel. I just feel like emphasizing that. Once, I think I've used this illustration before. Anyway, but it's perfect. Where I work, all right, one of my senior colleagues, he became visually impaired over time. You understand? I don't know why it's glaucoma or a pituitary tumor, whatever it is, but he became visually impaired. So he doesn't see. He's legally blind. You understand? Now, sometimes, maybe we're doing something. Do you understand? And some of, you know, like a kind of conspiracy, like maybe say, don't let this man hear, you know, so that he will not disagree because he's a senior person and he can be firm and you know, and insists on having his way. In fact, he had an exam stopped once because he disagreed with how I was doing it. You understand? That kind of person. So what we'll just do is that we'll now talk, you know, with codes and all of that. You don't utter any word. Since he can't see you, he does not know. And I didn't think anything of it. And if he's coming and I'm not in a talking mood, I'll just walk past nicely, you know, so he won't see me. Then one day I was reading a scripture, I can't remember it now. And it says, okay, yes, he said, that shall not cause the deaf. God gave the children of Israel a commandment, never curse a deaf man. You can, a man who can hear, abusing papa, that's your problem. God didn't have an issue with that. But if he's deaf, it's a sin. I went back to work to one of my colleagues who's a Christian also. I said, see what I read though. I said, this thing that we do is wrong. So we'll be in a meeting those days. Somebody now said, are you calling me? That is? Person's giving me a sign. I will shout loud. What? You want me for something? If I'm walking, all right, and it's approaching, you know, and it's an area where a normal seeing person would have noticed I was coming, I will greet. Good afternoon, sir. It's Dr. Lucina. Oh, Lucina, how are you? Fine, sir. I will go over there. Why? Because one day I read the scripture. It said you must never curse a deaf man. There was no, oh God, oh Father, have mercy. What is it that I've been cursing a deaf man? Yeah. May I not go deaf too? It's not necessary. It's a simple thing you have found out. I just agreed and said, this is bad. Simple. And if you read through the scriptures, you find that's what God says. If somebody has a disadvantage in an area, make sure you don't take advantage of it. For example, you have money, he's poor. So two of you fight, you pay police. You will die early. You hear what I said? You want to die early. He doesn't know people. You know the governor. You take his land. Your children will never prosper on that property. In fact, build a house there. It's good. It's a good tomb for you. You understand? Because you enter one day, it will just collapse on top of you. No, see, if it was your mate, two of you fought and you won that land, God won't say anything. No. But because you took advantage of the fact that he did not have that advantage, you know what I'm saying? That is, he disadvantaged in that area. That's why God said, if somebody is a stranger, you treat him kindly. Listen, there are communities that God wiped out because of the way they treat strangers. The Amalekites, they were like that. They love to pray on the weak, and God wiped them out totally. There was no remnant. It's like that. Look, God has some precepts. God has some precepts. Anyway, let's not even talk about them in detail. The point is that, so it's not about how I feel. It is I just learn the truth, and I simply say, this is out of order. I make bold to say this. Any homosexual in Europe or America who reads the scriptures and says this is abomination, we'll get to the law of release in a moment, and he does the law of release, he will discover that that spirit will run. It's not every spirit you need to cast out. Say, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit. There are times you do that, but most of the times they disappear when light enters. I've read enough to know that prostitution is a spirit. The first time she does it is temptation. When it becomes a habit, she's possessed and a spirit has built a stronghold in her. It's not so difficult to break if you can get her to agree that it's not a result of poverty. All this online is poverty. It's a fat lie. Poverty should make you beg, not sleep around. That's what poverty should make you beg. The only one I agree that can be from poverty is in a begging. Even that one self, you get limit. Call the Rahab. If Rahab would just agree, not feel bad. Not, I've ruined my life, I've ruined my life. Look, all that cry, you know, in fact, I believe, you know, most of the people are crying. God will say, shh, weep not, keep quiet, let's talk. All the crying and shouting. Read the scriptures. Most of people who cry a lot and shout a lot and react a lot, they wither, they don't come to fruit. Go and read it.
Go and read it. Emotional reaction is a sign, all right, of fleshly contact. The spirit has not been touched. How do I know? He said, the ones that left and they rejoiced when the word came, they were the ones that did not have deepness of earth. Most people, the thing enters them. They are knocked out. You, as a preacher, you know, one of the first things you will learn when you are preaching is not to just believe people you are looking at. What do I mean, people you are looking at? It's as you are sitting like this. Some of the most boring people that you see, they are the most attentive. You know, preachers want people who say, preacher, Most of those people are not hearing you. Listen, I have sat in a church before. One girl was sitting right near me like this. I don't think my ears are duller than average. You know what I'm saying? What I couldn't hear, she could not hear. And if you know how long I've been listening to preachers, you will know that I'm better at hearing preachers than she. In fact, I've been listening to preachers longer than some people have been alive. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? My mother used to wonder, this is when I'm listening to Kenneth Hagin. He said, Banky, you are telling me you can hear what this man is saying. I mean, I couldn't understand why nobody couldn't hear. I mean, the man was speaking to me in local language. Yeah, anyway, the point I'm making is that I was sitting there and listening and trying to get what somebody in front was saying. The speakers were not good. This guy was doing hoo hoo hoo. I said, it's a lie. You are not hearing anything. I still remember. Look. This guy. I don't talk to them, but I just look and say, don't fool me, my friend. This place where you and I are sitting, we can't hear anything. I mean, sometimes people look. But let me tell you, this one is making laugh. I was watching a comedy show one day on TV. A comedian was now cracking a joke about comedy. You understand? He was cracking a joke about comedy shows. Say, some people will come for this kind of show now. He will crack a joke. They will laugh, tap their neighbor. Wait till you talk. And it's very common. They laugh because everybody's laughing. So it's all this emotional response. It doesn't mean anything. As a preacher, some people who are being blessed the most, is at the seat from beginning to the end. You want to ask your wife after, did you see that statue over there? He said, which one? Is it still there? He said, statue must still be there. Good, it has gone home. Then that means not a statue if you can go home. There are people like that. In the same manner. Now, if I understand it, you can be sure that God double understands it. Go and read Ahab. Ahab will repent and cry. He not go repent. Every time David spoke up and said, Saul, why are you doing me like this? Saul will say, what I'm doing is wickedness. Let's go home. Next day, if he can't David again, he will begin shooting. I hope you have heard what I'm saying. So that's why God said, only, listen, don't cry. Don't lament. Don't say, woe is me. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. I need to read that scripture. I love it so much. Because he used the word, he said, only acknowledge. That is, we're not talking any other thing. Just acknowledge. Jeremiah chapter 3, yes. The law of release. If you read from verse, let me just start from verse 12. It said, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return faithless Israel, declares the Lord, and I will look upon you, I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. What is it in verse 13? Let's read it again. Acknowledge your iniquity. He said, only acknowledge. You know what it means to acknowledge? That's what confession is. To just say, it's wrong. I did it, it's wrong.
He's now, see how I've ruined my life. As a young woman like me, I could have been doing prostitution for the last 5 years. My whole life is ruined,
That cry does not work. Listen, I'm not saying crying is forbidden, that's it so. I'm just saying it's not a sign of anything. It's only a sign of bad feeling. It's not a sign of repentance. It's just a sign of what? Bad feeling. Sometimes, after watching movies, people feel bad, they feel good. Like my wife was saying that she likes films
No, what she said, I was telling that she likes films that with a happy ending. I always know when a film has a happy ending because I'm very impatient with films in my house. After watching small, for they do things that annoy me, I just get down to my wife, I'm going inside. She said, don't mind themselves, but she'll be watching it. I always know how the film ended. You know how? I just watch my wife's mood when she comes inside. If I'm sleeping and somebody gives me a hug, husband, are you sleeping? I know that film ended well. You know what I'm saying? If I just come and feeling very bad, just know they have killed the actor in the film. So all those crying, whining things, it doesn't mean anything. We get those feelings from films also. In the midst of the crying, in the midst of the whining, the issue is, do we acknowledge? And this acknowledging is an intellectual. When it's intellectual, it's a reasoning matter. It's not an emotional matter. It is a reasoning matter. That's why I gave that example earlier of when I read where he said, do not curse the deaf. You understand? It wasn't about, is it all my life I've been cursing deaf people? No. It's more of, oh boy, is that what the scripture says? No, this is out of order. And that's it. And that's what begets that confession. I said, it starts with what you agree with. And what is the confession now? He said, only acknowledge. You just say it. And listen, this is how bad habits, this is how sin, this is how satanic strongholds are broken from the lives of believers. It's simple acknowledgement. Listen, confession from, I just agree and I confess. That confession of sin just means simply to say, I have sinned. What I have done is bad and I should not do it. That's all it means. You know, I have found out two things I'm going to say, all right? That I found out. I found out the major problems in life for Christians are two things. There are two things. One, insincerity. And two, making excuses. What do I mean by insincerity? If a man loves money, why can't he just agree that he loves money? Then he starts explaining. This money is for the preaching of the gospel. That's what I call what? Insincerity. Listen, two of them are very close to each other. They're very, very close. When I say making excuses, this, let me explain what I'm saying. In fact, one example I like to give all the time, there's one young woman that I knew, a Christian, had one very bad habit. And periodically, in fact, once you interact with her for a short while, you will learn that this girl's habit in this area is foul. And if you, of course, so you won't have any choice but to point out that, why do you behave like this? And her excuse all the time is, it's just a reflection of where I come from, the way my parents are. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Let me give another example now. Maybe you see a man who's grabby. You know, say grabby. Very grabby. That is, if there are 10, assuming you have, you put gala on the table now. There are 5 rolls there. And there are 3 of you. The guy don't quickly grab 2. Knowing that somebody will get 1, but it must not be him. Are you getting my point? There are 5 and we are 3. And you just first grab 2. When you're not telling, why are you like this? Eh? He said, you know, I come from a polygamous home. And you have to fight for yourself if you're from that kind of home. Once he repeats that 3 times, that guy is, don't let me use the word hopeless. But he said he will be entrenched in that thing for a very long time. That's what I mean by making excuses. He agrees with you. But he keeps on explaining away the behavior. God said, don't explain to me how you got here. Who's saying that this one should be born blind? I don't want to know. Who's saying that I should be grabby? My father married 7 wives. So my life now must be, you know, it's now circulating around how I was raised. I keep on saying, please, if you have not read it, go and read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. If you don't have a copy, in a short while, it will be on our website for easy download. That's if it's not there right now, self. This is a point I'm making. Everybody came from somewhere. I used to make a joke, those days, you know, when we enter University of Benin, some boys will come, you know, they are, you know, children,
The other one is they want to know whether you went to King's College. You know, King's College was the top school those days in Nigeria. All right? But these days, they're all private schools. So the boys went to King's College. The girls went to Queen's. Then after that, some who came from Federal Government College, they now start looking for those of us who didn't go to any of these schools. And these used to make me laugh. These people are very foolish. With all this, your King's College, whatever college you went to, I beat you in jump. I'm 4 years younger than you. We're in the same class. What's all your problem? Then, of course, what matters is, we're in medical school. Mo, do the exam. Mo, they go now. I remember one King's College boy. He now crossed year 3. The rest of us finished the school. Last time I saw him was in our 3rd year. Anyway, the gist is this. I used to look at all of them. I saw you with your King's College. And they name all kinds of names. Where are all of us now? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. We're in the same class. What if I look, you know, when we're young these days, you know, our father used to take us to go and buy ice cream, you know, in Montreal, Canada. Where are you now? This same class. And I'm beating you. You've forgotten. The last test you failed, I passed. What is your problem with? Are you getting on this? I used to make a joke of what's wrong with people? All of us came from somewhere. You are a product initially of where you came from. But after what we call the age of accountability, God does not care where you came from. He holds you responsible for your sins. And you know why he does that? He wouldn't have done that except that he provided a way of escape. So your judgment now is that you did not take the way of escape that he provided. That's what I wrote in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. Yes, I mean, if your father was a mafia don, you will learn to shoot people. I hope you know that. If your mother was what they call, you know what they call madam those days? Madam, girls, women that had girls, used to do prostitution for them. And you're a girl, forget. By the time you're 18, you're one of them. No, even if your mother tried to keep you away, it's a spirit, it will jump inside you. You can't help it. You can't help it. You can't help it. It's not your fault. And we agree it's not your fault. When it becomes your fault, it's when you hear a gospel. And God says, listen, only acknowledge your iniquity. I keep on telling this story. You know, when we were young that time, what kinds of men used to come to our house? You tell that story 3 times. God will just punish you neat the way he punished everybody else. He said, why? Now, you know, Americans now go to court. He was abused as a child. He said, come to Africa. When you carry firewood on your head, that which, you know, if Americans sell granite on the road, if you shoot somebody at the age of 60, they say he was abused as a child. That the son, when he's selling granite, come to Enugu. When you buy opa, who do you buy it from? When you buy, what do you call it, garden egg, you buy pure water, who do you buy it from? And the other one, which one is the other, you know, which one do you buy regularly? The Lord is good. They will be telling the stories. A 40-year-old man will go and shoot people. They say he was abused as a child. 40-year-old man is a serial polygamist. It was because his father divorced his mother when he was 6. That is, the whole world should be upside down now because problem there everywhere. But God doesn't listen to that. You know why? Because he always gives everybody an opportunity to change. And at that opportunity, all he's saying, just acknowledge your iniquity. Listen, if a Christian kneels down and says, God, this is what I have been doing and it is wrong. It's not about, have mercy on me. No. The mercy, if you want to cry, cry. If you know, sometimes we need it to make us feel happy. You understand? Say, yesterday I cried unto the Lord, praise God. I cried my heart out unto the Lord. Amen. God said, yes, I agree, I was there. Fine. Now that you have cried your heart out unto the Lord, what did you say in the midst of the crying? I acknowledged my iniquity. And I said that if I have done iniquity, I will not do it anymore. If we say, that's what is called the law of release. The Bible says he's faithful and just. 2 things he does. To forgive, and then he cleanses us. You know, I heard Pastor Chris Okoti say something once. I went for a wedding. One of our house officers was wedding. Went to the church. And he analyzed the blood. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all iniquity. I had never heard it like that before then and since then. He said something which I never forgot. In fact, I remember the example he gave. He said, That word iniquity describes like a tendency to sin. He gave an example. You know that, I don't know about whether you know in this part of the country, but in the West, the joke they crack is that then the Jebu man is very stingy. So if you ask somebody for something, doesn't give, you say, Ijebu. You understand what I'm saying? Even if he's not from Ijebu land. Once you ask a person for something, not give, you say, there he goes, Ijebu. So it's supposed to be like what they are known for. That was the example he gave that day. He said that is the iniquity of the Jebu man. And that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all iniquity. What am I trying to explain here? That is, if we confess our sins, even that, let's take that homosexuality that they are fighting over all over the world that is natural. God says, I will show you that it's not natural. You will get off from there, you fall in love with the opposite sex instantly. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses. Are you getting my point? That is the law of release. Listen to me. In fact, because of time, please, I have to stop. But this is what I'm going to make. He said, if we say we have no sin, I don't have time to read now in details, but we read it together. If we walk in the light, as is in the light, if we say we have no sin and all of that, this is the point he's trying to make. The closer you walk with God, the longer you have walk with God, the more you discover that is iniquity in your life. I don't know what I get on saying. There are things you are okay with now. I'm not complaining. You are not complaining. This interesting part, even God is not complaining yet. I gave us an example. We used to talk behind the back because the old man used to give us trouble. We're not trying to be wicked. The man could be difficult. But we know he couldn't see us. So we just generally speak in codes. So someone would just pinch you. I remember when I wanted to see someone, and once he pinched you like that, you straighten up. After all, you go outside and say, what was it? They tell you. Are you getting my point? As you walk in the light, one day, what is this? The word of God. That is the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I was reading the scripture, and that scripture simply pointed another light to me. Suddenly I realized I was walking in what? In sin. It wasn't sin until I read that scripture. Sure, you understand that? So that's why John said, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is that the more you walk with God, the more you discover the areas of your life that needs you to be cleansed. And listen, this is a law of release. Don't forget, we are going for the perfect image of Christ. God, every day you are here today, you have heard something. Tomorrow you buy a book, you will hear something. Listen, you know, recently I told you, if we were around on Saturday, I read Derek Prince say, I had no ambition. Do you know, I laid down, I started thinking of all my ambitions. And I realized to be ambitious is ungodly. I did not realize it like that until Derek Prince explained it. That he read an advertisement of a Christian program. They think, come, prophetic view into your destiny and all of that. He said it felt to him like prostitution. He felt like he needed a bath after reading the magazine. I looked and said, what are you talking about here? Then, you know, I heard myself preach the one what we are hearing right now on Dream FM. I said, listen, all God is saying in life is know me. I said, Pastor Bank, even you preached it and you have forgotten. But I started having understanding of some issues my wife and I had, you know, there are some plans we had before, just kept on breaking down. So God said, it's ambition. You know, until that, who understood that? I thought it was a perfect thing. The man said, no, I had no ambition. None. He said, so you mean you didn't have a sense? He said, I had a sense of destiny. That my destiny is to be like Christ Jesus. That all I wanted in life was to know him and know him better. And that the future will unfold itself on a daily basis. Whew. Are you getting my point? I started dropping things in my mind. It's as we walk with him in life. And it's not about struggle. Say, Lord, no. It's not good. Imagine, I'm not going to have ambition again. It's simple. Just appoint. Check the place where you have been struggling with your strength. I must get here. I must become this. I must become that. I must become this. Just look at it and say, Lord, your servant said this is ambition. This is not pursuing the knowledge of Christ. I repent of everything that's not pursuing the knowledge of Christ. I have been following after my own ambition. It's acknowledge. You know what he will do? He will close doors. He will close some doors. Yeah, the door will close so hard. You will know that one has been shut permanently. That's called grace. Oh, I think we'll pick up from here. I look at my watch. I think we should close. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just pray.
We've talked about the law of release. Let me just give you a minute or two. Just pray in your own words, and then I just share a grace and we'll go home. God is not saying feel bad. Sometimes some people refuse to repent. You know the reason? The bad feeling. Maybe next time I'll talk more about this cleansing, this forgiveness of sin in light of this. It's a law of release. These are the laws of confessions. They are talking about the confession of sin. Things are spiritually handled. They are spiritually handled. It's not by struggle. Bad habits will die. Bad habits will die on the spot. Just if we just acknowledge that this is bad. God is not saying put in some struggle to stop it. He said no. Just agree and say to me in prayer, if I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Maybe next time we'll read it. That which I see not, teach thou me. Let me just hope I pick up from that. This issue of walking in the light and having understanding. These are the things, that's the law. Those are part of the laws of confessions. Let me put it, next time we'll talk about the law of illumination. The law of illumination. It works both ways, into confession of sin and confession of the word of God. It's as you understand that you begin to talk. It's as you understand you begin to agree. It's understanding. It's a law of illumination. We'll talk about it further next time. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name.